You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
with your life.
Running like a red disease.
Running like a red disease. Ghetto people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yo. You got to learn to love yourself. Yeah, ghetto people.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe, civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement: Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening Ashe. To Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi, Hotep family. Hope everything is well for you today. Hope you're going to have a great weekend. Hope you're going to get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping too the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it is not, and then it has to get done. You'll get it done. You just got to do it. Yeah. Even if you're in Milwaukee or in the Midwest or all that snow that's coming your way. Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but this fire is so delightful. We got no place to go. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Hey, y'all, I'm sorry. It's raining here. Okay. It's raining here in Atlanta. But it could be snow. In fact, we had snow on the ground a few years ago before anybody had snow. That's right. Oh, let me go on. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific. Any other time around the world, but if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to our archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that are dated and titled. That's right. Also, too, you can use a shortcut, which is babaoshi.net. Any search engine that you want to use, Internet Explorer, Firefox, Time for an Awakening, put in the search babaoshi.net, babaoshi.net. And once again, there'll be programs that are dated and titled. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening, like I said, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And all times are going to give our Eastern times. And on Thursdays, last night, from 7 to 8, Mississippi on the Move, the Black Liberation Movement with Brother Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. Tonight, 8 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Tomorrow night, from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American and African-owned businesses. WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything, and I do mean everything, that you need from American and African-owned businesses. WeBuyBlack.com. And Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani is taking a group of us to Liberia, Morocco next week, the 29th. Next week at this time, 29th. The other trips he's going to take is March 29th to April 9th, and then July 11th to July 23rd to Ghana, November 21st to December 2nd, Kemet, December 24th through January 4th, 2025, Azinia. April 3rd to April 13th, 2025, Senegal and Gambia. April 4th to April 15th, 2025, Liberia and Morocco. May 24th to June 5th, Ghana. November 21st to December 1st, 2025,
Brazil. I see that's what he added. The Senegal. No, it was the Liberia and Morocco again. Liberia and Morocco. April 4th to the 15th. So I told you, man, Brother Bomani, he ain't playing. Africa for the Africans. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to YouTube. Excuse me. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. You want to see videos of previous tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007. Africa for the Africans.org. Habeshaw. Habeshaw Incorporated.org. Habeshaw stands for helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. And, of course, the programs they have locally here is Habeshaw Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and Urban Green Jobs. And the program they have on the continent in Ghana, the Kashi Project, and the beautiful buildings they have, the chalets and so forth. So, yeah, HabeshawIncorporated.org. LEDGE, Land for the Environmental Development for Group Economics. They deal in the four areas of human existence, which is in human necessity, human essential, food, water, clothing, and shelter on 12 countries. Excuse me, 12 projects on 6 different countries and 170 employed and over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, become a member of the LEDGE group. The Minister of Wellness is in Kenya doing his thing. Brother Nathaniel Jordan, the Minister of Wellness. Go to his website, theministerofwellness.com. Theministerofwellness.com. Smile Pharmacy. SMAIFARMACY. Smile Pharmacy with Brother Jabril. Give him a call at 770-765-7751. That's 770-765-7751. Brother Jabril, Smile Pharmacy. SMAIFARMACY. Moses West Foundation, brothers and sisters, I can't say enough. You got to go to the website, to MosesWestFoundation.org. MosesWestFoundation.org. Because clean water, clean drinkable water is a human right. It's a human right. Water is free. Water is essential. We got to have it. And to commodify it is a sin. So go to the Moses West Foundation. Ah, yeah. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta, down the street from where I live. Yeah. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar, located here on Ralph Dibbert Abernathy. Tomorrow and Sunday, they'll be selling vegan dishes. That's right. Tomorrow and Sunday. So check them out. Wadada's Healthy Market and Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia, my good sister. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, gift certificates, T-shirts, figurines, and so much more. The Greenbrier Mall. Contact Mama Nia at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, located in Lithonia, which is east of Atlanta. Get on I-20, going east towards Augusta. Take an exit, 74, exit number 74 in Lithonia area. And get off, make a left, now you're going north. In about a mile, on the left will be the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar with my good brother Kazim Diajama, who's the proprietor, and he has it laid out for you. Give him a call at 770-305-6373, 770-305-6373. The Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar. There is light in the Black Dot. Jump back in your ride, head back in the other direction. Now you're going south. Make a left again, and you're going east. And the next exit is exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Make a right, three lights, make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people, in the spirit of Ujamaa, every Thursday night. They have that Thursday night broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU. You can listen to the program that way, or you can listen to the program by dialing 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789 every Thursday night from 9 to 10. Us lifting us that Thursday night broadcast. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop located in Macon, Georgia. Open Tuesdays through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. And Brother Abijah's got it going on. So give Brother Abijah a call at 478-256-1166. 478-256-1166. Sun Goddess Essentia, one-stop natural shop located in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall. Booth 225. Give Sister Shelly Amundset a call at 404-434-7963. 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop. And Sanjay-Haiti. Can't say enough about the work that Sister Gabby Aurelia has been doing in the northeastern portion of the island of Haiti. See for yourself. Go online. Check her out. Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E. -Haiti.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. All right. And of course, my good brother. Excuse me. And of course, my good brother. Baba Barudi, Mama Ya. Baba Barudi has a workshop tomorrow. That's right, there's a workshop tomorrow, the 23rd, from noon to 3 p.m. $12 donation. All I know about writing and publishing books. You'll get the lecture. You'll get the information. Maybe you want to write a book. Maybe you want to publish a book. The information's going to be there for you. $12 donation, that's right. And, okay, and it's all you got to do, family. Please register by going to the following. Make your $12 donation through PayPal, yabarudi@yahoo.com, or Cash App, $YAA, the letter M, Barudi, B-A-R-U-T-I. So either way. Include your name, the pertinent information first, Sage, S-E-S-H, your name, and then the email address where they can send the streaming link. That's all you got to do, family. That's tomorrow. From noon to 3 o'clock. All right. All right. Okay. Let me go ahead and get with the Inyasa Sim of Daily Revolutionary Thoughts, since I got to read three of them. That's right. I always read three of them on the Friday. Let me put some light on the subject, too. It works better that way. Yeah. March 21st. A dog is a man's best friend, but a canine can't be mine. War. There may indeed be a convincing reason why there has been a dramatic increase in the number of European females who own dogs that goes well beyond personal protection. Given the significance and the growing shortage of available qualified heterosexual men, dogs, as well as other domesticated and domesticatable animals, including bears, pigs, snakes, whatever, serve as surrogate sexual partners. Damn, bestiality. It would not be reaching far to suggest that family photos of European females and their dogs often carry a much deeper meaning than meets the eye. In addition, as people age, the number of males continues to dwindle, but at even more drastic and more dramatic rate than before. But the sex imperative does not. Therefore, we would expect dogs to become even more useful to European females as they grow older. Affirm, I do not practice bestiality. March 22nd, mentality of the mentality of dead originates from feelings of nothingness and hopelessness. Only self-awareness can prevent the nothingness and give rise to hope. Self-awareness must be taught. A mentality of death must also be taught. The power to miseducate and kill, or educate and let live, comes with whomever does the teaching. Ashe, Michael Porter. Yeah. We must teach our children to value completion. Do not allow them to quit anything they try that makes empowering sense. Help them to understand that quitting is never a warrior's option. The degree to which this is intergenerationally done is an indicator of a people's power and success. It is indicative of their ability to gain and sustain power and sovereignty. Even at this point in time, the active, engaged people is but a small segment of it. Our children must learn the value of falling only to rise better, and doing that again and again and again, and each time rising stronger. They must be made to understand that resilience is ma'at. They must become open to it through our socialization of them into and through it. through thought, word, and especially deed. In the end, we cannot do this for them. We cannot absorb their pain nor be their joy if they are to become victorious Africans. These lessons they must experience on their own. Those ancestral powers which are already there waiting to be strengthened must be tapped through their own efforts and awareness. Affirm, I am aware of the influence my words have on innocent minds, and I direct them toward an empowering self-awareness. Affirm, I am aware of the influence my words have on innocent minds and direct them toward an empowering self-awareness. March 23rd. If race, culture is incapable of unity, it is incapable of survival as free and equal people. We deserve all the inequities upon it. For it will have proved beyond all question that it is indeed unfit to survive as a people, free and equal in every respect whatsoever with other people of the earth. Chancellor Williams. It is very easy for Urugu to control the interests and appetites of spoiled African children because they have been molded into weak, needy individuals. Given that they are the dominant economic power in all areas of people activity, Urugu is better able to satisfy more of their materialistic and attention needs than we can. And naturally, weak, needy individuals adopt the politics of whoever feeds or soothes their tortured egos. Weak individuals overwhelmed by lies become liars. We shall remember Ptahhotep's wisdom that he who is ruled by his appetite belongs to the enemy, and that there are emotional as well as intellectual and material appetites. One of the general characteristics of the spoiled is that they are subject to fits of anger when they cannot easily win or are proven wrong. In fact, this is one of the spoiled's most visible qualities, that along with argumentation, which is equally reflective of their mental sub-integration into a culture proud of its its penitence for noise and confusion, are hallmarks of weakened, broken, ego-ridden minds. We are at war for the sanity and survival of African people. I repeat, we are at war for the sanity and survival of African people. We cannot afford to gift our children to enemy interests. We have got to stop coddling weakness. Affirm, I look toward the unification of African people. Affirm, I work toward the unification of African people. Ashe. The Inyasa Sim of Daily revolutionary thought. Oh, yeah, family. I got my good brother with me today, my co-host, Brother Irv Lewis. Brother Irv, how you doing, man?
Yes, sir. I'm doing well. Can you hear me, my brother?
Oh, I can hear you very well, my friend. Go ahead.
Fantastic. I'm doing so good today, brother. You right on point with this, Sim. I was listening to you, and the one thing that stands out, and I just go right into it, brother, because I talk to you all the time. So the niceties we can do,
right,
we can do every day. But this, the message that we're trying to get through to the people is more important than anything else. And what you have said a few minutes ago was stop coddling weakness.
Yeah.
Man, that's deep, brother.
Yep.
That's very, that because strength, because all who understands is strength.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, you can get on your knees and you can pray and you can walk down the street with a sign. It'll take you forever and cost you your life to get whatever it is you're trying to get through to them after the old ones die off. But power, when you fight a system with a powerful system fights another powerful system, that's when Arugu understands what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But if you but when you start embracing weakness, we just don't, you know, we'll be okay. We just don't let him do this right now and kill all our kids. And
they're gonna do you in. They're gonna do you in, no doubt.
Come on, he's gonna do it, and he will. Arugu will cut your head off and say, "God told him to do it.
Mm-hmm.
He told me to take all of you Native Americans and push all of y'all into reservations." You know, later on, give you some casinos or whatever. But right now, we're going to need this land, these buffalo, these buffaloes, you know, and all these things. It's interesting. It's interesting how Arugu does that. And when you said that, it reminded me of a quote by Amos Wilson. And this is really short. I'm not taking up a lot of time. I know you want to get to other things. But Amos Wilson said that the European hegemonic establishment must project a false and injurious must present false and injurious ideologies that are accepted by the victims. So in other words, you have to accept what is given you. And it must project self-serving ideologies that are seen as givens. So I'm going to give you welfare. I'm going to give you some money.
Yeah.
And it must be given as natural. This is natural for him to do this. He must project fraudulent ideologies that are sent as not subject to question.
Mm-hmm.
And when the victim of the European imperialism domination accepts the ideologies as uncritically, then they accept the rulership and the dominance of the imperialistic Europeans. They begin to identify with the very group that is responsible for their problem.
Right.
Huh? Huh? Yeah. If that's not the NAACP, what is it? if that's not the Urban League, what is it?
Yeah.
If that ain't the Rainbow Coalition, what is it? We identify with you.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? I feel your pain.
Right.
But you never felt my pain. Because what's your pain has no, I mean, brother, I just read a story by Baba Oshi where there's a group called the Cape Town Independence Party. They're trying to make Cape Town in South Africa their own sovereign state. All these rich white people in South Africa want to break Cape Town off from South Africa and make that into a sovereign state for white folks. I'm not lying. And 30-some% of black people and Africans went along with it. 30-some%. So what white folks are doing, they're playing chess, Baba Oshi.
Arugu
thinks down the road. He's thinking generational.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm not saying that all black people are. I'm not saying all nothing. Mm. But I am speaking collectively, Baba Oshi.
Yeah.
We as a people have to get away from this individualism and start and lock our arms and walk in lockstep.
Yeah.
And don't coddle weakness, show force. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I think of Burkina Faso in Africa, Burkina Faso stood up to Arugu and said, even if I'm wrong, I'm going to die in my own land being wrong.
Right on.
But I'm not going to let you continue. Come on, brother. Mm-hmm. You're not going to let you continue to colonize me. Even the fight, when I listen to Brother Paul come on this show sometimes, and you know, Paul says some things that really spark thought in me, make me think.
Sure.
And you listen to him and you say, well, is this brother an army of one? Because is Donald Trump an army of one? I don't hear you talking about the people that follow him. All you're talking about is Donald Trump. So one person can make a difference if you're the change that you talk about. Be the change that you talk about. Mm-hmm. And when I listen to Brother Paul speak, man, he inspires thought. And this is all about the mind, Bible Oshie. I say it every time I come on this air, and you say it, it's the mind of the oppressed that is the most valuable. Mm-hmm. It's not the money. It's not all the other material things. It's that mind. Because once I got your mind, everything else falls in place, bro. Mm-hmm.
And
you coming on this air every day, or every other day, seems like it to me every day, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and just saying what you say. And I've said this before, I sound like a broken record. You fill my tank, my revolutionary gas tanks up. And by the time I get back on, from Monday to Tuesday, by the time I get back Tuesday, my tank damn near on E, because racism, white supremacy, imperialism, Irugu never stops, because the way Irugu has it set up, it feeds on itself. Mm-hmm. It seems like it works automatically, mm-hmm, because of the way the system is set up.
Automatic push button, remote control, synthetic genetic, commands your soul. And
hello?
That's what's happening all the time. It's constant. You it's 365.
You watch Hulu TV, you're paying for Donald Trump's campaign. Mm. The people that own that support Donald Trump. You buy something, you make some money, you pay tax on it.
Mm-hmm.
You buy something with the money that you already paid tax on, mm-hmm, you pay tax on what you bought. Huh?
Yeah, it's crazy.
Save money in the come on. In the retirement, you go to take money out your savings from the retirement, you pay tax on that.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
So Baba Oshi, they have the system set up to where you, and if you don't do it, they're going to put you in jail and take all your money. Mm-hmm. You can't win in this system. But so I wanted to say something really quickly before we get into any callers or any other subject. I saw something that disturbs me. And notice that I say the word disturb, Baba Oshi. Mm-hmm. I didn't say the word surprise. And this is where we have to get away from. I can't believe that. Why can't you believe it? From a people who enslaved you, from a people who threw your bodies over the side of the boat to feed the sharks, a people who raped your women, a people who redlined you, a people who burned down a whole town because the town was doing well and they found oil underneath in the land. So they killed everybody in the town, took their stuff. I heard something the other day from Mississippi, I think the same attorney general that was down there before, whatever they call it. The police were down there and they literally raped and molested these two black men, six white folks. Did you hear about six
folks? Yeah. From
what I understand, they had sex toys. Oh, see, what that got to do with anything? Why are you sexually accosting these? This is the part they don't want to talk about on the television. They actually did sexual things to these guys. They wanted to rape them.
They're
demonic.
Yeah.
Brother. Why is it that we can't talk about that? Why are you trying to tell me to watch these Paris Olympics? I give a damn about the Paris Olympics. But you want me to watch the NCAA, which I love basketball. But let's talk about the sexual aspect of this torture. Okay, so you beat me up. So you put a gun in my mouth and shoot me in the face. But do you have to attack my genitals and my anus?
Yeah.
This is what they did.
Because they're deviants.
This is the demonic part of Irugu that embarrasses them. And then you're going to tell me to bring my child downtown for a drag queen story hour so I can sit him on the lap of some guy dressed up like a woman who's going to read a fairy tale to him. A fairy reading a fairy tale. No, I'm not doing that. And is there something wrong with me? But I don't want to sit here and watch the news and these sisters got this straight hair all the way down, they titties, and they on the news, but the hair look like white women hair. And I'm supposed to not even see that because I already don't see the European clothes because I've been so conditioned. I don't even see that anymore. I don't see that these aren't my clothes. So I don't see that. But I do see the hair thing. And we're not supposed to say anything. We're supposed to take that as it just charge it to the game. That's the way it goes. The NAACP had more relaxer and more fake hair in that room at their award show than the Oscars did. And you don't even know who Oscar is. But it was after Oscar Michaud, who's a black man. Look it up. Don't believe me. So the thing is, Baba Oshi, you said it before, and you know, there's a difference between an older and an elder.
Mm-hmm.
An older is somebody just gets old. An elder is somebody who gets wise.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we honor elders.
Between wisdom and
that's the title.
That's correct.
Yeah. So
some people just older. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're older, my brother. But no, you said it before, brother. My brother.
Yeah.
History, the key, and John Henry Clark said this: the key to your existence is your history. If you have no idea what your history is, you from Blackville, wherever Blackville is, and you black. I'm African. I'm from Africa, which is really not even the name that the people in Africa gave it, supposedly, but that's neither here nor there. At least I'm on the continent. You in Blackville somewhere. Where the hell is Blackville? I don't understand. Where's Negroville at? And then a brother will argue with me about that. I'm not going to argue with you about what I know. I know what I know. And you can argue with somebody who wants to argue with you. It's not about an argument. It's not about a competition. It's about a cooperation. Cooperation leads to collectivism. Mm-hmm. Collectivism leads to us doing something together. And you know, that's why James Brown, that song Black and Proud with the fist up in the air had to be shut down and the Panthers had to be shut down and all those groups that organized black people had to be shut down. Because they were putting in your mind that we can do things together. Now we got the individual thing going on.
Right.
You know, and the individual thing can go on forever because we will never, ever, ever, ever make any strides forward by ourselves. Because white folks walk in lockstep. Oh, you think they're going to find that money to help Trump? The white folks are sell their houses and their cars to help this man because that's what white people do.
Damn shit.
We got this attorney here going to jail, Marla Mosley, about to go to jail because she took some of her own money and did some things, whether she's wrong or right. I ain't seen nobody get a GoFundMe together for her. They got a GoFundMe for the guys that kill black people, for police officers.
Yeah.
They put a GoFundMe. We don't do that. We as a people don't do that. I'm not giving no money to that. But then you sit here and watch this St. Jude commercial and you'll send money and that to that all day long because you're being brainwashed. You don't know where your money going. You know where you think it's going. Like the guy in the Salvation Army ringing the bell outside a dollar store. I'm not giving you. But we won't. Mm-hmm. We as a people. And I'm not doomsaying our people because the reality is we've come a long way.
Yeah.
But we have a long way to go.
A long,
but
long
we
way
got
to
a
go.
Long, a long because, way to go.
Because,
and we're going to get there.
Yeah, we will because we're so fragmented, you know, because when you live in a society that perpetuates and promotes individualism, materialism, greed, and violence, and we fall serious victim to that. Let me just say this before we get into our discussion. This is March Madness, and March Madness is really a stirring reminder of what America was founded on. Making tons of money off the labor of unpaid black people. That's what March Madness. So when you see March Madness, family, when you see that, think about that. Think about all those brothers and sisters on the basketball floor, how nice the arena is, how the floor looks and all of that and what that's all about. With brothers and sisters. Yeah, I know they got name, image, and likeness now, which a few people have benefited, and some benefited very well to the tune of millions. That's right. But still, the exploitative system is maintained. March mm-hmm. Madness, a stirring reminder of what America was founded on, making tons of money off the labor
of an appropriate name.
Yeah.
What an appropriate name. Mm-hmm. March Madness. Because this is madness. This is, does Eddie Murphy take name, image, and likeness when he does a movie? Does he? Bob Oshie, you hitting it on the, you hitting the nail on the head.
Yeah.
That's the, it is madness that you would you work for free?
Yeah.
Would you work? That is madness.
Yeah.
But when you have a child with a mind that is not developed, with a body that is a body of an adult, but a mind of a child. Because I didn't come into my own until I was 30 years old.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you the honest truth. I didn't know what I was doing until I was 30.
Right.
I mean, my body did things,
sure.
But I didn't know.
Sure.
You know, I didn't know what I was. I saw a woman. I lost my mind. And she liked me? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
But as I got.
you get more discipline. You develop discipline, man. And, you know, you're able to discern what's happening and what's not, you know. Let me throw this out there, too.
Sure.
Brother Ted Lusk, our good brother out of Montgomery, Alabama. He's going to be our guest next Friday because the Freedom Monument Sculpture Park is opening in Montgomery. In fact, let me try to play this here for us. The Freedom Park in Montgomery, Alabama. Check it out, family.
There needs to be a place in this country where the millions of Black Americans who were enslaved are acknowledged, where their lives are honored, their labor recognized. Freedom Monument Sculpture Park is a space dedicated to the legacy of slavery. The toil, the tragedy, the trauma are all explored. But something amazing happens at this park as well. The love, the triumph, the resilience is celebrated. The National Monument to Freedom sits at the Freedom Monument Sculpture Park. We want you to be part of the experience of acknowledging the history of slavery in America and the continuing challenge to create racial justice in the United States. Visit us in Montgomery, Alabama at Freedom Monument Sculpture Park.
Yep. You know, that's the same brother that created the Justice Initiative with the monument and the memorial. They have a museum in Montgomery and in the memorial where they have these metal, rusted-looking hanging. And on each one, they talk about or they document the lynching of brothers and sisters at various times in various places, you know. Yeah, so he's bringing this whole concept, and I love it. So I'm going to have Brother Lusk on, and we're going to talk about that, and hopefully that you have a chance to go to Montgomery, Alabama, and you can see for yourself what they're doing, because believe me, you know, we need to know. And I know that for some of us, it's kind of tough. You know, slavery, to talk about our captivity. I think for me, what bothers me is that we continue to refer to ourselves as slaves, the slaves. We need some language that I think that puts the blame where it squarely belongs, on Caucasians. And we need some language that also tells us the things that we need to know and the things that we need to embrace and internalize and work on. Because, believe me, we are not slaves. A slave is somebody or something that submits its will to a master. We never submitted. We resisted. We always fought. We resisted on the continent. We resisted in that voyage on the Atlantic Ocean. And we resisted in this hemisphere. Hundreds of revolts recorded of us fighting back the best that we could. Oh, yes, we acquiesced here and there, simply out of survival. And look at us. And some argue it's our resilience. But it only says something about our resilience if we recaptured our minds. If we can't recapture our minds, then that's not being resilient. That's acquiescence. That is succumbing to the destroyers, succumbing to the enemy. Resilience means that we bounce back to be who we should be, and that is African. So, yeah. So, Brother Irv, what you want to talk about, man?
Baba Oshi, there is so much to talk about.
There really is.
The big thing in the news today, what most people are thinking about is how this Donald Trump thing is going to play out monetarily. Mm-hmm. In other words, is he going to actually pay this money? Is he going to say I'm broke? Is he going to file bankruptcy? And then I have to think when that happens, how does that actually change my life? Mm-hmm. I mean, it reminds me of Obama's presidency gave me a feel good moment. You know, I felt good to look and see another man with pigment in his skin and melanin in his skin, and he was the president. It made me feel good, mm-hmm. but did it really get me any closer to my self determination to that revolution, that liberation that I not only dream of but work for every day? No, it didn't. And it's the same way with Donald Trump. Whatever happens to Donald Trump happens to Donald Trump. I'm not, but he ain't giving me no money. If he took the money that they got from him and spread it and gave it to some folks, it would be one thing. But you know, you got people right now in this world being slaughtered, being slaughtered. And the people in this country go on like it's no big thing. Look, they've been doing that for years. But people, but the brothers in Africa, mm-hmm. brothers in Africa have been. Why would you have the Olympics in Paris when Paris has colonized Africa, just as America, just as Belgium, just as numerous other Germany, numerous other countries has come into Africa and colonized them? And then what's happening in Haiti? They have destabilized that government, and this is the result of destabilization. Mm-hmm. If you get chaos when you have an unstable food source, an unstable water source, economics out of control, the money has no value, and then you wonder why the people turn on each other and start the fight. And then the United States has been over in Haiti taking the minerals and all the, yeah. the bauxite, all the, for years they've been taking these people's their minerals and resources. And now this happens, and you look at them and act, they're savages. We're getting the Americans out. But right on the other side of the island is the Dominican Republic. And they still got tourism going on and nightclubs. And what is going on here? What it is, it's a controlled chaos, Baba Oshi. Mm-hmm. This is a controlled chaos. That's what these people are doing. And if you think it's not being orchestrated, mm-hmm. think about the brother in Libya, Gaddafi, if that wasn't an orchestrated assassination of that brother.
Of course it was.
Come on, Baba Oshi. Yeah. I'm not saying he was the nicest guy in the world, because I know a brother comes on, I'm not sure who it was, and says, you know, Gaddafi wasn't the greatest guy in the world. He wasn't.
Brother Ralph. About? Brother Ralph came, you know.
And he makes a good point. We can agree to disagree. We can have a debate, disagree without being disagreeable. But the thing is, he's not bad compared to what? To the United States? You know, we're talking about the people who committed genocide on a whole nation of people. Genocide. Just came, took their stuff, and kept it moving. We're taking it and we ain't going nowhere. It's the same thing that's happening right now in Gaza. The Zionists are taking that. They're not coming. Those people aren't coming back.
Right. You know, you're they're seeing, going to kill right, them. You're right. You're seeing it right before your very eyes and real time.
Right before your eyes. Yeah. You're acting as if you don't see it. I mean, well, not me, but when you think of the UN, People don't understand how the UN is set up. They're permanent members in the UN who have veto power and all these types of things that they don't show on the television. They never show you how things work. They just show you what they want you to see, and then you have to go somewhere else to get more information.
Well, yeah, the UN, they realized that the UN couldn't be one country, one vote, because all the poor countries would collaborate and vote against the rich country and probably take some of their stuff back, you know. See, so they got to have mechanism and ability to control the UN, so the rich countries control all these multiple numbers of poor countries. You know, we live in an evil world, man, and it's not going to get any better. You know, we live in an evil world, and the question for us as Africans, though, are we going to break the monopoly that these crackers have on our minds? Are we going to break this, release this vice grip that they have on our minds to think independently, to think collectively, to think in unity? That is the real question for us. You know, right at this moment, it doesn't look good, but I always maintain that it will happen because it must happen. If we are to survive as a people, if we are to come into the reality of who we are as African people, it has to happen. And yes, it should happen yesterday. Hell, it should be happening today. But damn it, please let it happen tomorrow. Because the question becomes, you know, we don't have the time. We don't have the time, especially when you're dealing with an evil entity such as these Europeans who have access to all kinds of ways. All kinds of ways to kill your ass, you know, drones, you know, bombs, poison, you know, contamination,
vaccines.
Yes.
When you're dealing with a Rugu who believes that he can kill a person and not kill an idea, he thinks he can kill a person and kill a movement, thinks he can kill a person and kill the mindset. The Rugu understands imagery. That's why the Confederate flag flew over so many of these states for so many years. Mm-hmm. Because Rugu understood that if I keep showing you that flag, I'll keep scaring you. And as long as you're scared, you'll do what I want you to do. If we keep sending our children to be educated by white women in these schools that have an integrationist mindset, in other words, every other nationality in this country can speak of their nationalism.
Right.
But the Spanish, the French, all can talk about, the French this and the Spanish this and the German this. Mm-hmm. But when you, as an African, start to speak of your nationalism, or I'm talking about American Africans, I ain't never been to Africa. Well, you have Spanish people who've never been to Mexico. Can't speak Spanish, but they claim to be Mexican. We can't. You tell a black person, what is his name? Smokey Robinson. I'm American.
Yeah.
I ain't never been to Africa.
I'm gonna tell you though, brother, that hurts me. I love Smokey, but when he did that, and I saw it live. I don't know how many tape, but on deaf comedy, deaf poetry, deaf poetry. You know, when he did that, man, that really hurt me, man. Because it was an ignorance.
It cut me deep.
Yeah, it was an ignorance.
Yeah.
And a disassociation of who we are as a people, and it just hurt me, man. You know.
And they clapped.
Oh, yeah.
They clapped. Yeah. They stood up and they clapped.
Yeah.
And they cheered. And with every clap they made, a tear came out of my eye. I cried.
Yeah, man.
I cried because I was so, and not that I expect Smokey Robinson to represent me. I never voted for him. I've listened to the songs that he sang, and he's had the gift. He's able to sing. But when he did that, Baba Oshie, and said, I'm an American, and I'm here in America, and I love America, and I'm not going nowhere in America, I just couldn't, it just took me somewhere, brother. And I said, and the people in the audience loved it too.
Yeah.
They loved it. Yeah. I said, this is this is, woo.
Well, I mean, that's the other thing, too, though, Brother Irv, is that, you know, you can get a development of groupthink by putting some information out. You can have some people come into the auditorium, can be right on, right on. But if their convictions to right on ain't real strong, they'll be like, yeah, that's right, Smokey. We ain't African. We black. We love being black. There ain't nothing better than being black. You know?
That's what he said.
Yeah.
I love being black.
Well, see, that's the thing. Where are you from? See, that's the thing, Brother Irv. There are many of us, even to this day, people who want to be black. They don't want to be African. They want to be black. No. You know? No. There are many of your entertainers, many of your people in media, you know, they ain't African, and they ain't putting nothing on African. They ain't they black. They don't want to be white. They don't understand. They don't understand that being black, you know, is how should I put this about in comparison to being white, you know, on a lesser scale. You want what whites have. You want whites' jobs. You want to live in whites' neighborhood. You want the whites. You want what they have. You want to parody them. But you want to be black. Because, you know, being black, let's be real, in this white-ass shit, being black is cool. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Being black is stylish. Being black, you know. So, I don't know, man. But we're going to take a break. We come back this break. We're going to get up to some more conversation. Please join us. Give us a call at 215-490-9832. Me and my good brother, my co-host, Brother Irv Lewis, we chopping it up, and we got a lot to talk about, man.
Yes, sir.
Okay? So y'all stay with us, man. We'll be right back.
All right.
All right.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Mandrell. Listening to Mandrell. That's right. Fence Walk, 1973. Yeah. It's a Friday song. It's a Friday song. In fact, you know, I always play the OJs, Living for the Weekend, and Johnny Kemp, Just Got Paid. In fact, Johnny Kemp, when that was out, I was in Baltimore. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, in the 80s.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Just Got Paid. I remember partying, of course, at the Vulcan Blazers Hall. I loved it.
That's right.
I loved it.
That's right.
Was that 5 miles? Was that 5 Mile House?
The 5 Mile, yeah, still there.
Yeah,
still there.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Oh, man, yeah, you're going love, way back now.
Oh,
brother.
Yeah, I love Baltimore. You're
going way
back. I love Baltimore.
No,
be more.
You're going way back. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Baltimore is a very, very interesting, place. And just like any other city where Rugu has corralled all the American Africans into the city.
Mm-hmm.
So many layers to it, and there's so much, and as Rugu changes the American African's name from colored to black, mm-hmm. to Negro, to he also keeps the American African on the move. He moves you from the city to the suburbs, then back from the suburbs to the city. Over the years, and gentrification comes, and the bike lanes, and the yoga shops, and the coffee shops, and as long as he keeps you moving.
Yeah, because the reality is, this is his. It's just like here in Atlanta. I mean, you know, we fantasize about Atlanta. In fact, Freaknik is on streaming. The History of Freaknik is on streaming, and I have mixed feelings about a lot of this stuff because it doesn't lend itself to our liberation. It doesn't lend itself to our self-determination, freedom, sovereignty. You know, it doesn't lend itself to that. It lends itself to us partying, you know. And Freaknik is the ultimate, you know. They talking to Luke from Two Live Crew, you know, how nasty his
As if he did something fantastic. Go ahead.
You know, and so it, even here in Atlanta, we are under the false impression of this as being the Wakanda for black folks here in America. Ain't number one, ain't no damn Wakandas nowhere. And this showing a hell of no damn Wakanda. You know, gentrification is happening here big time. In fact, in my neighborhood, you know, I saw this Caucasus, this was months ago. I saw walking down the street, man. So I pulled up beside him, said, "Hi, how you doing? You live here?" He said, "Yeah, I live here." "Well, yeah? Well, you're the son of a bitch reason why my damn taxes went up, you asshole." And I drove off. But it's true. It's true, man. When I moved here, about 10 years. Well, I've been here 8 years. And my mortgage, along with, I live in a condo. And my condo fees were all around about $600. It's over $1,000 now. You know? So, you know, it's because of that, man. And the general gentrification of this neighborhood. So, you know, the fact is, it is theirs. And that's why, to me, we have to have leadership, not continues to beg Caucasians, not the fact that we have more people in public office, not the fact that we have more people in high places on TV, invisible, and this, that. No. What's most important is that we have people who are independent, people who are self-respecting, people who are acknowledged that we are African people and work towards the unification of African people. That's the real deal. Because when you said earlier about the fact that we're not unified, we suffer. We suffer individually. Just because one individual has big money don't mean, just like when Oprah, they were hailing Oprah, she was probably the richest American African person at one time. That's not the case now, because there's, you know, there's a number of them in various fields. But even at that, that doesn't mean nothing for us collectively. It means something for them individually. And since this society promotes and perpetuates and gives, you know, limelight to an individual, you know, and in fact, what they want to say to you, to us, see, you too, he made it, she made it, you too can make it. No, you can't. No, it's not designed for us to make it, you know, because it ain't designed for all y'all to make it, you know.
No, no, you're absolutely correct, Baba Oshie. You, we keep coming, no matter how much we talk, how much we analyze, how much we discuss, we always come back to the same thing, because Irugu uses the same playbook. In other words, in Africa, they want to give them aid, and let's, the word aid spelled backwards is welfare, basically. So what do they do here? They give, in this country, we'll give you assistance. Assistance spelled backwards is aid. Aid spelled backwards is welfare. We're still getting a handout mm-hmm. from the people that have caused this confusion and chaos. So the same people that ran the car into the wall are the same people that's turning around and saying, we're going to give you aid. I mean, if you look at the situation in Israel, you're selling Israel guns, and then you're dropping food out the back of an airplane to the people that they're shooting up. Irugu must think that people are just stupid.
Yeah.
You're causing this chaos so that you can make money off of it. The mm-hmm. people who are getting rich right now are the arms dealers. Not the medical people, because, you know, we can't get in there yet with the medical help, because pharmaceutical companies and medicine, they're going to always make money.
Of course.
Because the guns, the people that make the guns shoot you, and then the people who make the medicine try to heal you.
Mm-hmm.
So, Baboshi, white Irugu is quick to put on a freaknik on television to show black people at their lowest, to show us, to show our young people's mm-hmm. asses out, and their breasts all out, and they're shaking, and mm-hmm. They want to put somebody's penis in their mouth on TV, and the mm-hmm. girls young, and the white folks are sitting home masturbating to this because they're demonic nasty. Anytime a bunch of police officers are trying to have sex with two men who they arrested, yeah. But why are you carrying a sex toy around with you in your car, Baba Oshie? I don't understand that part. But these people were quick to put on something that makes black people look like idiots and fools, and on TV, freaknik. It was what? It was a mess. It was a mess. You know it and I know it. But because there's no genuine leadership mm. that will sacrifice the likes. In other words, they don't like me. They ain't supposed to like me. They're right. supposed to do what I tell them to do, because I'm an elder. And I've seen this before. I know how this is going to end. If you respect the person, you listen to a person. But when you don't respect yourself, how can you respect someone else? This is about knowledge of self.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know who, if you don't know who you are until you put your lipstick, your eyelashes, your nails on, then the brother got to get his hair cut and put his shiny shine in his hair and, you know, put on his muscle shirt. And we all got to go out and look like the other person, because we all look just alike, because Irugu don't want us to be individual look. He wants us all to look alike. But then when it comes to us trying to move forward, then we have to be individuals. I got to get mine. See, all this is the same. We're on a hamster wheel.
Yeah.
And we keep doing the same thing over and over again. And then when you have a person like a king that comes along with a way to do it nonviolent, and it's working, we quickly kill king and turn him into something that loved us. King supposedly loved white people. Really? Well, why was king talking about a burning house?
We don't talk about that one. We talk about the other speech. You know, the one where the black children and white children, and we're going to, the blacks and the whites will come together, and my character, and my children, and all, whatever. That's what they want us to look at, because they got Arugal guys the narrative, because as you said earlier, this ain't your house. Stop trying to put curtains up in a house that ain't yours.
Mm-hmm.
You can't redesign this. You know, you may get little. I just looked up that museum you were talking about in Montgomery, Alabama. Of course, I was stationed in Montgomery, Alabama, Maxwell Air Force Base when I was in the Air Force. And this month, I've looked this museum up. And Baba Oshie, this museum costs $5 to get in. $5? My God, I would pay for the whole school to go.
Yeah.
And I'm not rich. But I would pay. Why are we paying for, why aren't black people with money paying for the whole second grade class to go to this museum? Why aren't they paying for the whole third grade class to go to this museum? Because we have to imitate Caucasians. Oh, we don't want to traumatize the kids. You don't want to traumatize the kids. Well, what the hell, what happened to my ancestors? Did they get traumatized? I'm not talking about the ones that were captives. I'm talking about the prison system where they was in, redlining and putting them in, not redlining, putting them in prison gangs. Those are the ones that were traumatized.
Mm-hmm.
The point I'm making is you don't have to be that extreme. You could be traumatized looking at George Floyd with somebody's foot on his neck. And black people are so scared that we watched it. The girl, the bravest person there was the girl who pulled out her phone, because she got shot for doing that. But she pulled out her phone. Was she stupid or was she brave? Because we aren't taught to push back on injustice. We're taught to take pictures or whatever we're taught to do. We're not taught to fight it.
But let's just say this, because in the last 20, 30 years, because of camcorders, and definitely because of cell phones. I mean, the cameras in the cell phones are so good, you could really make a movie, literally, you know. But because of those things, now we've seen, because previously Caucasians, particularly law enforcement, was able to get away. You know, they just did it, and they could get away with it. Plant evidence on people and so forth, you know, had no, just like the Caucasian who shot that brother in the back in South Carolina. That Caucasian could have easily got away with that one. But no, a brother came out, a brother, just like Rodney King, a Caucasian came out with his new camcorder, and he videoed Rodney King getting that beat down. So with the advent of videotaping, you know, that kind of, I ain't saying even level of playing field, no. I mean that.
It's a game changer.
Yeah.
It's a game changer.
No doubt.
It's a game changer.
No doubt. Because you can see what happened. You can see what happened, you know. And that if there's no lies, you can see what happened. And if they're lying, you can see what happened, you know.
Uh-huh.
Well, we got a caller. Let me
go ahead.
Let's get Paul up in this conversation.
Let's get Paul. My man, Paul.
Baba Ochi and our brother Irv, it's such a pleasure and such so overwhelming to be part of this program. And I have to extend my gratitude and say thank you very much for extending those kind words, brother Irv. It means a lot. It means to me that that I'm actually on the right path. That's what it tells me. You know, when somebody like a brother, someone who you respect, somebody who you know who's seeking the truth, acknowledges something, is in the act of knowing and confirms that, it just makes me know that I'm not wasting my time. I'm not just blowing hot air. And you were right, Baba Irv. You're absolutely right. I swear, you're so right. Because that's what I'm trying to do, Baba Ochi. That is my task. I know when you're thinking. When you're thinking, that is the first stage of critical thinking. Thinking is the second stage of critical thinking. The first stage of critical thinking is to question, is to ask question.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what I've experienced in my life, Baba Ochi and Brother Irv, is that growing up, the more you ask questions, the more people don't want to give you the answer. The reason why they don't want to give you the answer, because 9 times out of 10, they haven't got the answer. They don't know. Mm-hmm. You'll ask a question, and they'll give you a superficial answer. I had this problem in school. I remember I was in school, and we had this sociology teacher. She was a standby teacher, white woman. And she said that, she says, oh, she gave an argument, and she said it's based on these statistics. So I was thinking about it, and I says, Miss, who gave you those statistics? And she says to me, and she gave a name. And I says, who's to say those statistics are right? Now, she got in a bit of a fluster. And she said, well, we just have to accept it. And that confused me. I said, why should I accept something that I can't confirm? That's what I'm thinking in my mind. Who's to say those statistics are right? So anyway, now, while I've posed that now, other people in the class, I think, and now I've lit a fire. Because when we go to school, we're just told to accept everything we're taught. But most of the things we're taught don't make no sense. I'm sorry to say that. Don't make no sense. And we're not supposed to question anything. So now I've lit the fire. Other people now, other students in the class are now asking the same question. Yeah, miss, what is it? Now, she got flustered. And you know what happened that day? She ran out of the class. I'm not telling you one word of a lie. She ran out the class. And I was confused. I was thinking to myself, what is going on here? What, we're just asking her questions. We have a right to ask her questions. And she's running the class. Anyway, she brought one of the senior staff members to the class, a man, Mr. Berry. And Mr. Berry was one of those teachers, he speak, rah, 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 and everybody just quiet, you know? But he came to the class, and he asked her what the problem was. So I told him what the problem was. I said, we asked question, and everybody asked question. Next thing we know, she's jumping up and down and running out the class. Now, for some strange reason, he took our side, and I was surprised about that, because he usually protects the teachers. And he looked at her, and he said to her, well, they're just asking you the question. Haven't you got the answer? Well, she was just a standby teacher. Obviously, she was young. She didn't have the answer. And you know, that day taught me a lesson. That day taught me the living lesson, because it confirmed in my mind, which I knew when I was in junior school, most of what they're telling me made no sense. You understand? But we have to accept it, because we have to be indoctrinated. And how do we expect the teacher to know when the teacher herself is indoctrinated? You understand? And she's not asked. Right. She is not being, she, depending on who she is, most of them aren't going to question anything. They're just going to go along with it. You understand? Mm-hmm. So, you know, Baba Irv, position we find ourselves in as a people on the planet is that we are under a serious, serious state of indoctrination. And, you know, we have to free our minds. Our minds are in prison. I'm not going to go on for long, because I don't want to take up all the time, but I want to address some of the things which I heard. Baba Ochi, you're my elder. And we're having a debate, and we just need to put things out there, not that we disagree or we agree or anything like that. But you remember when you had Renoko Rashidi on your program, yeah? Mm-hmm. Our ancestor, may his soul live on as an ancestor till he returns. And you addressed him about color thing, being black, or how we address ourselves. And he said to you that, you know, people choose how they define themselves doesn't necessarily follow that's actually what they mean, meaning that if I'm saying Africa or whether I'm black, the two terms are intertwined. They use them. I'm paraphrasing what he said, but that's how I interpreted it. Yeah.
Okay.
You remember, he did say that, didn't he? You remember?
Yes. Well, I remember. Rashidi,
yeah?
Yes, I remember. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You didn't say it. Right now. The thing is, right, the issue I have, I told you before, I'm going through Chancellor Williams' book, The Destruction of the Black Civilization. You respect him as an academic, Chancellor Williams.
Oh, no doubt. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Right. Now, so in his work, he wrote that he said that most academics look at the word black. And he says that how they identify it with the ancient Egyptians is when the River Nile floods and the silk, the black silk rises up nurtures the land. He says that they were interpreting that
right
as the people referring to them black. And then he said no. And he also says, I am the academic. He actually says this in the work. He says, I am the academic, which is the maverick. I am the academic is going to be different than the ones who come before me. He says that in his work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, no, you know, he don't look at it that way. He says that the word Kemetic means of the, that's how they define themselves, of the black land. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They identify themselves with the land and they call themselves, we are of the black land. We are black people of the black land. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, you say Kemet, Kemetic. And I said to you before that Kemet, when the Arabs came into that part of Northern Africa, they changed that name. That means it existed, Kemet, into Al-Kemet. Al, like Allah, Allah. And that comes from breathing. That's a breathing exercise. They go, ah, when you scream, ah, Allah. And then you go, Al. So they said Al, which is their highest order to do with breathing, Al-Kemet. That word, the Europeans picked up, and they translated into alchemy.
Alchemy. Yes.
Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. And alchemy, which is, you get from alchemy, you get chemistry, mm-hmm. which is a science. And alchemy is what the Europeans now call science.
Right.
Okay? So the point I'm trying to make here is that there is a coalition here. And those people in America, they may not identify with Africa. But the way I look at it is like this, Baba Ochi, respectfully. If you go to the New York Zoo, if you go to the New York or any zoo you go to, yeah, and you see a lion, and then you hear that lion start meowing like a house cat, yeah, the first thing you do, you're going to look at that lion and think, what the hell's going on, yeah? But let me ask you a question, you and Brother Herb. Are you going to get in the cage with it because it's meowing?
No.
Mm-mm. No.
Why? Why aren't you going to get in the cage?
It's still a lion.
It's still a lion. So the point I'm trying to make is, you know, when you look at that lion, you're gonna be confused. You're gonna think, what the hell is going on with that lion? You're gonna know there's something up wrong with it, but you ain't gonna get in the cage with it, yeah? Because your instincts tell you it's a bit out of its mind, yeah. That's saying it respectfully, but you still know it's a lion. The problem with us, we don't even know we're lions anymore. We've forgotten we're lions. That is where the problem is. Mm. It's not that the fact we're meowing. It's not that the fact that we're speaking this English language and we're Africans, because that's how we are, really. We are speaking a language which is not ours. We are the cat. We are the lion meowing, right? Mm-hmm. So we have to forgive those brothers, the other lions, right? We have to forgive them because we've got a problem because we're speaking a language which isn't it. That's the meow. And they are not only speaking meowing, they are totally out of their minds because they don't even know they're African. They don't even know they're lions. Mm-hmm. You understand? And because they don't know they're lions, they are actually running around like they're cats. They're like they're domesticated cats. So, you know, I'm saying that, I don't know if you accept my analogy or not, but that's the way I just see it.
I understand it.
Huh?
Yes, I understand it.
Do you know why I had to look at it, yeah? I had to look at it like that. Because every time I speak to my mother, which not so recently, my mom's come around a lot, and I think that's my biggest achievement. Because my mom is a Christian, and used to always remind me it's because I don't believe in God. She don't do that anymore. And she, actually, I had a conversation with her last week, and she said, you used to say this all the time. Things she's hearing, she says, oh, you used to say this all the time. You know, it's my mother. You know what I mean? My mom reads the Bible and she had Jesus Christ up in the wall. And I used to look at that and think, what the hell is going on? You know what I mean? But, you know, that's what my mom. But the reality of it is, I have to have that analogy because my mom will remind me how angry I used to get with people, with everybody, how mad, like I almost went to fire. I have to be honest with you because I did not understand why people used to talk like this. I didn't understand why people didn't know what I knew. My dad used to remind me, not everybody is as quick as you. Sometimes I on the road, I'd be talking to my friends. I'm be honest with you. Sometimes it nearly came to a fist fight because I'd be so worked up thinking, what the hell? And, they, you know, when we get worked up around men, sometimes people, you know, take advantage of that because they see that you're at, you know, they rub it in. And I would go walk away thinking, what is wrong with them? What is, can't they see what I see? Can't they understand who we are? You know, I will say I've always known who I am. From I've been a child to now, I'm just lucky like that. And I didn't understand how, but in order for me to empathize with my brothers and sisters, I've had to see that they don't even recognize their lions. They don't. They think they're cats because they've been indoctrinated so much through this schooling fooling system. And that's what it is. I don't say that lightly. The schooling fooling system, what we're begging for this education, right, is messed us up. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't be educated. We should be africated. And the difference between being educated and africated, education is to do with brainwashing, indoctrination, and mind control. Affrication is to do with all those things, but it makes Africa the center of your core because you're an African.
Yes.
Right? And that is the problem. So, so the reason why I've given you that analogy, because that allows me to not get so upset with my brothers and sisters, just to say, well, they don't recognize that they're lions. They think they're cats. And it's not their fault. It's what's been done to them. So when you see Brother Irv, then with the white people's hair. My mom's a hairdresser, yeah? My mom's a hairdresser. She's had hairdressing businesses. She's done a lot of work in America because she represented those comrades. Those creamy crack people, the highest one in America, I know him. I know him because my mom was a representative for those and she went around the world doing that, yeah? But my mom, she's been a hairdresser since she left school. She had alopecia from a young. And I now I analyze it, I realize that she a lot of things were happening in her life. She was stressed. That's why she lost her hair. Mm-hmm. And she became a hairdresser. And that was her thing. She was a model as well. She's done modeling and everything. You know, she's a good looking woman, whatever. So the point I'm trying to make, when you say white people wear these hair, I say, yeah, I get where you're coming from. But I know, like, what happened to my mom. My mom was a good, not just a hairdresser, she was a good hairdresser. All them big companies in America, she was the representative. She was in Atlanta, all over the place. She went all around the world promoting that. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know a lot of those. You think of, you know his name, the biggest person who produces that stuff over there. I know him because they came to our house, you know, whatever. I'm just saying. But my mom had actually alopecia, and a lot of women suffer from that alopecia. And it's as a result of stress they go through. Right. I mean, the stress we all go through, the trauma we're all carrying. And I've had to think about this and analyze it and realize what's happening. You know, because I've grown up in that business, you know, and I've heard all the talk of the business, all the talk between, you know, whether it's right or whether it's wrong or whatever. I was, you know, when they had this curly perm thing, before they had this curly perm thing, they had hairdressers will know this. They had a product where you go through all that madness and it will last for about 2 hours, about 2 days. We were the guinea pigs, me and my brother, for that. So the reality of it is I know it all. You know what I mean? We sat there for about 6 hours having this nonsense put on our head. You know, as soon as I got a chance to get, you know, I go into school and all my friends are just on the floor. You know what I mean? Belly bursting, thinking, what the hell's happened to me? You know what I mean? But as soon as I get a chance, that was off my head. You know what I mean? You know, as I grew older, I had to take that off because it wasn't me. But, you know, it's my mum's a hairdresser, isn't it? We're the guinea pigs. So, look, what I'm trying to say is all these experiences teaches you to have empathy for what's happening to us. Mm-hmm. What's happening to us, for me, is part of this colonial plan. That's my conclusion. So if I repeat this, please have empathy for me because I've come to the point where I realize it's just the same thing we're under. We're all under the same thing. And the last thing I want to say to you, brothers, and I don't want to offend anybody, yeah? Through listening to this show and other shows, through this technology, I've come to a conclusion. It's quite damning in a way, but it's not an offend. I don't mean to offend anybody. I've heard Brother Irv and others, not just on other platforms, say, almost suggest that African-Americans are special, are more gifted than Africans. And I feel a bit offended by that because my family is in Africa, in the Caribbean, and all over the place around the world. And I know, like for here, let me give you an example. You talk about basketball, right? I'm from Jamaican heritage, and we're extremely competitive, extremely competitive. And if you look at the athletics, you know we are a very extremely competitive. You know, I know even here when I used to run, and if I knew that other Jamaicans was in it, I would get butterflies because I know they're going to try and run me out, and I have to run them out. That's just the way we are. You understand? But what I'm saying is, if you look at basketball, let me give you the example of American basketball. It's not played around the world. We look at our football is played around the world, everywhere in the world. Your American football isn't. It's not a World Series. It's just an American series. I don't even know why it's called a World Series. It's an American series. You haven't opened it up to the world, because if you opened it up to the world, you're going to know who you are, because there are people out here who are extremely talented and extremely good. And I think that comes from a bit of an inferiority complex. I really do, because there are people in the Caribbean I know who are extremely talented at baseball, at basketball, or whatever you put them to. They're going to run their hearts out. They're just not being given the chance. So I'm just going to say this, yeah? Open yourself up to the world. Don't be afraid, because we have to test ourselves. We can't just have this illusion, oh, we're the best, we're the best. But you haven't run against me. You haven't really tested me. How are you going to tell me you're the best? But I think I'm the best. So let's go. Let's match. Let's see. And this is all I'm saying. We've got to run away from these delusions and illusions of grandeur. Because these illusions and delusions of grandeur, they can become toxic. They just keep us thinking that way. And we're not that. I'm telling you, we're not. And I'm not just saying it to you. Over here, I see the same thing. I see the same thing. You have to open yourself up to the planet. We are people of the planet. This planet is ours. We have been indoctrinated to wrap ourselves. You hear the way I talk, and you heard what one of your our brothers, how he got. He got, oh, I'm an agent, I'm this, I'm that, because he don't like the truth. He just wants to remind himself, oh, great he is, oh, this and that, which is rubbish, nonsense. And I open myself up to everybody, because I ain't frightened of nobody. Let's see. Let's go and test me. Test me, and if you think I'm just talking, I do my best. You understand? So I'm just saying, that illusion of grandeur is a problem among us. It's a big problem. It's a problem in Jamaica. It's a problem in UK. It's a problem in America. I see it. It's almost like a type of arrogance, which is defeatist. Because our adversaries study us. They study us. They don't have these illusions of grandeur. They go to war. And when they go to war, that's to test themselves. Most technologies are developed in wartime. It's developed when they're going to die. If you look at telecommunications, computers, everything, that's where it's developed. It's almost as if we're frightened to step out of our comfort zone. Thank you for giving me that opportunity to speak.
All right, Brother Paul. Thank you, man.
Brother Paul, I just got a very brief, very brief. I know we had another call, a very brief comment to that. Brother Paul, you're absolutely correct in what you're saying. And of course, I love listening to you speak. But let's be clear. The grandeur and the arrogance that the American African has in this country is a byproduct of the don't get me wrong, I'm not blaming anything on anybody, but the reason for that is when you're in this country and you're living amongst a Rugu, either you're going to do what a Rugu says or you're going to be similar to a Rugu. That's why you see Americans surrounding themselves with all the things that white people have, big cars, big houses, a bunch of money, because the system of racism and white supremacy in this country, it perpetuates that type of thinking that America's number one. We're better than everybody else. Can't nobody beat us, and we're this. And the reality is most of these Caucasians here say that out of fear. They say that because they're afraid. They're afraid that the American African is going to do to them what they did to the American African. That's where this goes. And the guilt is what a lot of Caucasians don't want to live with. They don't want to live with that guilt. I didn't do nothing to you. I'm spending the money that came from slavery, but I didn't do anything to you. And it all comes back in a capitalist society, Brother Paul, it all comes back to money. Everything here is money, but money cannot beat the spirit in the universe that we live in. Because see, the universe, money means nothing to the universe. And that's what Arugu doesn't understand. He thinks he can buy this and buy that, but you can't buy sunshine. You can't buy oxygen that we breathe every day. Even you can't buy the heartbeat that you have, that your heart beats while you're sleeping. You're unconscious and your heart keeps beating your entire life. And you got to think about that. It never stops, never takes a rest, never goes to sleep. So it's interesting that you said that. I agree with what you're saying. And you know, I know it sounds crazy when I say if it doesn't apply, let it fly. I understand that when I say things about women's hair and things, it doesn't apply to all women. It's not that they have the hair. To me, it's why they have the hair. Are you wearing it to be like a white woman, or are you wearing it because you have some issues with your hair? It's why you wear it. Are you wearing oppression on your head, or do you have to wear this? So if it, I didn't mean to in any way say that towards your family, any of your family, anyone, basically. So I just wanted to say that.
Right on.
We have another call, Brother Paul.
Yeah.
I mean, Brother.
Yeah, we do. We sure do. We have Brother Ted Lusk. How you doing, man?
Brother Ted.
Peace and blessings, everyone. Sorry I've been off, but hey, you know, work has to be done.
Oh, yo, man, you got to take care of that. You got to have a place to live.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. And so I know I'm on the tail end of today's conversation, but I have not forgotten, and I just needed to get myself back on the horse and start to ride back again.
Right.
I look forward to getting back with you guys on next week. Particularly the piece that I'd like to kind of present on the kind and type of thing that's happening here in Montgomery, Alabama. And so I look forward to that conversation.
Yeah, I did play a little bit of that from what you sent me. And
okay.
And I look forward to our conversation and other pieces to support that next Friday, so our listeners can have a clear understanding of what's going on in Montgomery, Alabama.
Sure.
Because you have that big wall with all those names. You have figurines with brothers and sisters in anguish because of what has happened to us. And, of course, you have the memorial and the museum, you know.
Yep. Yeah.
Which is, and I'm just going to put this little tidbit in, because it's so interesting that wall should go up. For me, it reminds me of what had happened in New Orleans, Louisiana. You know, there was a wall that went up of sorts that had the names of the many people that were lost in Hurricane Katrina.
Okay.
So it's so interesting how there's this similarity between New Orleans and Montgomery. Not that I'm saying that they're following one another at all, but it's just these little small tidbits, these small reminders, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And so There's a sculptor park in Congo Square in New Orleans, as well as the sculptor park here. It's so interesting to say that you're only about 3 hours away from each other driving distance. It's like, hey, you know, hey, that's I'm not too far away from home, so to speak.
That's right.
So
you're right there in the middle, brother. You're right there in the middle.
and that's why we would want to do what we're doing with regards to the Montgomery Ma'afa commemorative group. I just can't wait for that time to draw near as well, to be on and talk with the listening audience about what we're doing here and about how we're raising the consciousness of the African experience here as well, and our drumming, our pouring libations, our fellowshipping.
Right.
And so look forward to that time as the second Saturday of July approaches.
Oh, right on.
Wow,
okay. Yes.
Right on. Right
we'll
on.
Come back
Brother
on.
Brother Ted, are you in Alabama?
Yes, I'm in Montgomery, the capital of the state of Alabama. Yes.
I was stationed in Maxwell Air Force Base. I don't know if that's still open.
Yeah, that's in Montgomery. That's Vegas, right down the street from where I work.
Man, when I was in I gotta ask you this. When I was 19 years old, maybe been 20, 21. I went to a place called the Top Flight. You remember that?
Let me just say this. I'm originally from New Orleans. Again, had it not been for Hurricane, I would not be here. But Top Flight was in its last days open of sorts, right? And so, yeah, as a matter of fact, it's adjacent to the Ben Moore Hotel. In that particular area of town was the Black Wall Street, quote unquote, underscore of the city for African Americans back in the day. And so it's just so interesting that you should bring that up, because these places are still physically in existence, right? Of course, there's politics of it all to try to rejuvenate and places like that. But yeah, Top Flight is I remember Top Flight when I first got here, and it was it's kind of a heck of a place. That's where all of the politicians and all of the city folks met, and all of the personalities that was there. Top Flight.
Yeah. Oscar Gamble. I met the baseball players there when I went. I was in the military. And this is amazing that you remember the Top Flight, that it's still there. Yes, I'm coming down there. We're coming through there.
We're going to come through there, man. Telling me and you and the Kwaku, we're going to come through there, man, and celebrate.
Sure.
That's right.
Sure. And what's also interesting, too, although some of those buildings are still standing, there are other aspects of the city of Montgomery that is worth your while to look at. We have a Lincoln Cemetery where Ben Moore is laid to rest at, right? And so there's an African-American cemetery that is being, in existence. There are other parts as well, as you may have heard of Claudette Colvin. And Claudette Colvin, I'd be happy to bring you in the neighborhood where she stays or had stood. And there's a mural that's painted on the wall of her, and as well as with Nat King Cole, et cetera. So, yeah, there are plenty of places to go. I can definitely kind of show you from the different perspective of tourism some things as well.
Well, we look forward to it, my brother Ted. We sure do. We do. We really do, and we appreciate you, man. We look forward to our conversation next week about the sculptures. Sure, go ahead.
Thank you so very much. And I appreciate the energies and efforts that you, Brother Oshie, has put in. Bubba, it's the darndest thing, because this is in addition to supersede the quote-unquote barbershop talk, so to speak. And so there's much to gain through this in the time that we are on the airspace together. And so one can definitely come away with learning something new, learning something different, and to enhance what they already know. So, I really appreciate the work that you all doing with Black Talk Radio Network programming. And hey, man, just keep it up. Just keep going.
Right on. Thank you, Brother Ted.
Right on. Thank you.
Appreciate you, brother.
All right, brother. Nice talking with y'all.
All right. Peace.
All right.
Next week, man. Next week, Friday, we're gonna chop it up with Brother Ted Lutz.
Oh, let's do that.
Yeah,
let's do that.
And sure. what they got going on? I'm gonna send you. I'll send you what he sent me, so you can become more aware. Okay.
Because I want to look at his organization. I would like to join that also.
Yeah.
But Baba Oshie, these sculpture parks aren't new. They have one in Virginia, which has all the heads of all the presidents. We see that when we go down to the park.
Mm-hmm.
And it has the heads of all the presidents. So that is something that white folks have been doing for a long time to commemorate and remember their ancestors. And now that we as American Africans are doing it, it's going to keep the movement. It's going to keep it alive. I'm not going to say keep the dream alive, because I'm not asleep. You got to be asleep to be dreaming.
Yeah.
It's going to keep the fight alive, the struggle. It's going to keep it alive, because when you see something, some people learn through seeing, some people learn through reading. So it's going to be much better. I can't wait to go see it. I just looked online at it. It's interesting. It's very interesting. And it's something. It makes you feel some kind of way. That brother, I can't wait to listen to this brother, listen to what he has going on.
Yeah.
And you got to have another one on in the queue, or you are?
No.
Because I wanted to.
Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
No, I was thinking as he was speaking of how Arutu is trying to systematically with racism, white supremacy, erase everything that American Africans have contributed
have done in this country and around the world. And it is our duty as elders to make sure that it doesn't get erased, mm-hmm. and that we inspire young people to keep it alive, to keep it vibrant, to keep it in the forefront. Because you're never, no matter what you do, Baba Oshie, you're never going to be white. So you can try as hard as you want. You can want to be like the Rugu. You're never going to be white. And that's just the way this works, brother. Mm-hmm. You may have the things they have. You may live in the neighborhood they live in. You may even live in the country that they own. But you're never going to be them. So the bar, you'll never ever reach the bar. You'll never have the satisfaction that you seek. Because you can never be anything.
But also too, though, Brother Irv, is that they can't be us. They want to be us.
Right.
But they cannot be us. You know, they risk skin cancer, being out in the sun, trying to darken their pale skin to try to look like us. They've copied hairdo. They even lock their hair. It look nasty.
Right.
Try to be us. You know?
Yeah, look nasty.
And in fact, there was one piece I read one time. It says, why do white people hate us? Because they ain't us, you know, was the conclusion. They hate us because they ain't us, you know. And the abilities that we have as human beings, the rhythms, the athleticism, the intelligence.
Right.
And see, that's one thing that Europeans or Caucasians or Yorugu constantly throw up, that we are not intelligent, you know. And yet,
that's not true.
Of course, it's not. There ain't a damn thing that they say, particularly about us, that is true, unless they come to grips with the truth of our abilities and are able to say it, because they don't want to even say it. They don't want to give us credit for nothing. You know, they constantly lie on us. You know, today, even to this day, right now, here today. They talk of the inferiority of African mm-hmm. people, you know.
Sure.
And that's why that so-called goon squad did what they did to those two brothers. Because they feel that, you know, they can do anything to us and can get away with it. And, of course, they have mm-hmm. in the past. And sometimes even today, they can do it and get away, you know, unless somebody got a video. So unless somebody's got a camcorder in their hand, you know, or mm-hmm. are not afraid or unwilling to say, this is what happened, you know, because otherwise, no, you know.
And Bob Osh, I have to say this before we terminate the show. I have to say this, especially to my brother Paul. Arugu is always going to try to separate American Africans in any way that they can. They're going to try to separate us through light skin, dark skin, short, tall, money, whatever.
Right.
So let me make this perfectly clear. You are my brother. You are my brother, and my brothers in the Caribbean, my mm-hmm. brothers in Brazil, my brothers in Germany.
Sure.
We are American Africans, and we're Africans all over the world. So let's not let the Rugu separate us with football, baseball, basketball, hockey, wind sailing. Don't let the Rugu separate us. Come on now. Because if we separate us, then we're weak.
Yeah,
and we
right.
will not coddle weakness. We will not coddle weakness.
Mm-mm.
I mean,
right.
I love being an American African.
Oh, man.
Smokey Robinson.
You know, I wouldn't want to be anything else but African. And
I love the skin.
And I think the issue, though, for us is that we have so many of us, just like we said earlier in the program about being black. Like what Smokey did, you know, see, because we've been trained to hate Africa.
Correct.
We've been trained to hate Africa. You know, I saw a piece that kind of bothered me a bit. It was this Arabian person. I don't know if he was mm-hmm. a Saudi, a Kuwaiti, whatever he was, but he's from the area that now, of course, is seriously rich. That they're so rich they had to import help because all the people mm-hmm. that live there all have shared in the wealth of the
right.
oil industry and, of course, in the transformation
mm-hmm.
of Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, Qatar, Oman, and so forth, mm-hmm. you know. And And what it was an African brother. I don't know if he was from Nigeria, but they were talking about Nigeria and how successful Saudi is as opposed to Nigeria. And they had found oil in Nigeria long before they found the oil in Saudi Arabia. And I'm talking about since the 40s, you know,
mm-hmm.
you know. And yet, if you look at Nigeria, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. And what he did say that I agree with is leadership. But what he didn't say was the interference of Europeans.
There
we were
go.
Colonized.
Boom.
The British.
That's it.
It's the interference of the. Mm-hmm. See, you didn't. They didn't have that. They didn't have mm-mm. that because number one, there wasn't shit there but sand until
Desert.
It was discovered, and then they wanted. But then by that time, they had control. That's why they
That's
came
right.
together. They came together, if you remember, in the 70s. You know,
That's right.
OPEC.
OPEC,
you know,
mm-hmm.
so Caucasians couldn't do, and then they got mad, damn it, because they knew that the control mm-hmm. that Standard Oil, Exxon, and so forth, they didn't have that kind of control there. That these people who were producing it the way they were had more control. But anyway, I know that my time is up. Our time is up, Irv.
Yeah.
I appreciate you, brother.
Yeah.
I appreciate you coming on.
Appreciate you.
You know, I appreciate Brother Paul. Thank you, Brother Paul, in the UK. And definitely Brother Ted. Brother Ted Luston. Look forward to our conversation next week.
Yeah.
Next week, Friday. And you guys have a great weekend, man. Be safe out there, man. Okay. Well,
you
I know
too,
you got to. I know
too.
You got to be safe. You're on the left coast, brother.
I love it.
Yeah.
Thank you, my brother.
All right. Take care. All right. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in the hell, damn it, don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful weekend. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodie. Abibi Fahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a safe weekend, family. Hope to see you back here on Monday. Peace.